दीक्षित भास्कर रुचि करे संकलित स्वपरिकरे।
गोपाल चांपू, चैप्टर 17, बेगिंग हिज बिलवड थ्रू प्लेइंग द फ्लूट।
मौलिशी को परी पिंचधरे।
As on previous days, Madhukanta, enthusiastic in the extraordinary evening assembly of Sakis, began to speak. After the killing of Dainika, the passion of the gopis, like a growing lotus bud, increased daily in desire as before due to the external actions of Krishna, a bee. Radha's desire became most intense. That is indicated when describing the mutual love of Radha and Krishna. Desiring to associate, desiring to see, desiring to embrace, hatred of opposing public and constant symptoms of distress appeared simultaneously in both of them. Because of this, even though they were separated by distance, their desire was one. The bhavas of the two were like mirrors facing each other and receiving the bhavas of the other. Whenever Radha or Krishna fainted in private, they had an internal vision of their lover, equivalent to actual presence, for bringing auspicious results. Holding a desire for Krishna, all the young women of Braj passed the autumn season and came to the winter month of Magha Shirsha, when they were to go to the houses of their husbands. The parents had previously desired to give their daughters to no one other than Krishna, but they understood that their daughters would be given to others as if in bad dreams. Thus, out of suffering, the girls did not welcome their relatives. Seeing the girls' morose state, they became fearful. They hesitated to bring the girls to the groom's house, but became fearful of public criticism and trespassing religious principles. Purnamasi gave the following advice: "You should remain neutral. I will bring them to the groom's houses and have them engaged in household duties there." Purnamasi, respected by the devatas, understood the unwillingness of the daughter's parents to follow this order. Pacifying the groom's angry parents with sweet words, she made them accept her plan. The best of women were taken to other houses and placed with their mothers-in-law, undergoing humiliating scolding. Though it was impossible for them to obtain Krishna in those houses, Purnamasi made arrangements so that the girls had no intimate contact with their husbands, thus preventing intolerable mental agony. Though they were taken to the houses, on the path, she concealed them by their illusory powers and provided substitute forms of gopis. Later, she had them live in those houses, but they remained there in great fear. Their bodies were like prisons in the absence of Krishna. What happiness could staying in their father's houses produce? If this was so, how much more would they suffer in their mothers-in-law's houses, which burned them like fire? Since favorable circumstances became most unfavorable without Krishna, unfavorable circumstances became like a bed of fire. When Purnamasi went to the girls in their houses, she told them to be patient. If you think your limit has been reached, then escape. I will arrange this by my inconceivable power. I will make a place where you can flee. Going from their father's houses, which are like the king's prison, they went to the enemy prison and remained there. Confined there, their longing for Krishna increased. This longing of the gopis holding prema for Krishna became one with their life. When the desire for Krishna rose in their minds, they hid it under their consideration of Dharma, like fire hidden by damp wood. This is described, taking Radha as the main example. How can I give up the person who is my life, who has an attractive effulgence and sweet form, whose qualities stun me, whose heart is always soft, who is the shelter of all the women who are like Jacota birds? But Dharma comes and blocks the path of a Dharma which destroys respect. Krishna thought, Radha, my heart and my life is under another's control. Remembering her, my mind loses consciousness. Remembering Radha, Krishna rubbed his eyes red with affection with his yellow cloth for some days. He was eager to meet her. How will I reveal what is in my great friend, the mind, which trespasses Dharma? Thinking profoundly, he then simply used his glances. The gopis describe his glance. O Lord of love, in beauty your glance excels the whirl of the finest, most perfectly formed lotus within the autumn pond. O bestower of benedictions, you are killing the maidservants who have given themselves to you freely without any price. Isn't this murder? Srimad Bhagavatam 10.31.2. For when Krishna throws his glance elsewhere, the wise describe the results in terms of scriptural benefits. But when he throws his glance at the gopis, they consider it a sword. This fire of love remained in the hearts of Krishna and the gopis day and night. At dawn and dusk, this spark of love shone like the sacrificial fire in a Brahmin's house fueled by ghee in the form of seeing each other. When the moon of Krishna went into the forest from the town, or came from the forest to the town, the gopis gathered together to see him with their eyes. Radha was like the full moon with Anuradha, shining brightly among the constellations. When he went to the forest in the morning, he falsely smiled. Touching his friends at his side, he would half glance back with affection. Embracing his friends, he would play. Though going far away, he took his flute and sent messages through it. The women said, your smiles, your sweet, loving glances, the intimate pastimes and confidential talks we enjoyed with you, all these are auspicious to meditate upon, and they touch our hearts. But at the same time, O deceiver, they agitate our minds. When he entered the town, he showed his lotus face, surrounded by locks of hair resembling a swarm of bees eager for a lotus, covered with dust raised by the cow's hooves. It seemed as if the gopis' black eyes were bound to that face by the noose of Cupid. The gopis spoke. At the end of the day, you repeatedly show us your lotus face, covered with dark blue locks of hair and thickly powdered with dust. Thus, O hero, you arouse lusty desires in our minds. Every day, there was a competition of increasing desire in the gopis which agitated them with 64 types of emotions favorable for love during Chaitra and Vaishakha months. On the evening after the killing of Pralamba, Shukadev describes this. The young gopis took the greatest pleasure in seeing Govinda come home, since for them, even a moment without his association seemed like 100 ages. The following verse explains this. It is impossible to describe the bliss of the gopis when they saw Krishna, but one could ascertain this manifesting when they performed their duties. Just a moment's separation from Krishna seemed like 100 yugas. 100 yugas of meeting Krishna seemed like a moment. If a moment's separation from him seems like 100 yugas, we remain in anxiety counting the days and nights. Seeing Krishna in the early morning with difficulty, the gopis passed the summer months. Then the monsoon season arrived with rumbling clouds. When friends saw the continuous, unrestricted longing in the gopis and prevented news of Krishna from reaching the gopis, the monsoon season, seemingly an enemy, endowed with clouds and lightning, produced additional spurtis of Krishna. Attracted to Krishna, the women suffered from the summer season. Thinking that they would get relief in the monsoon season, they welcomed it, but the opposite happened, and they simply suffered. The women within whom Krishna appeared like a cloud produced a second monsoon by their tears, so that the rain-loving frogs began to criticize the real monsoon. Peacock feathers were like arrows for the gopis. When a peacock raised its tail, it appeared to be Cupid's half-moon arrows. The gopis began to despise the monsoon season, which tried to pacify their minds with its coolness. Their friends worried about this, but then their friends became enemies as well. What was the purpose of the Creator in doing this? Those kept within the houses thought to themselves, in the monsoon, Krishna with his friends takes shelter under a tree to avoid the rain, and eats dates grown in beautiful valleys. He sits on a stone slab near the water eating rice mixed with yogurt and calls the cows that are far away. These activities attract our hearts. When the dense rains fell and Krishna could not be seen, the young women who gave joy to all people became absorbed in Krishna and their hearts with the wealth of Shringara Ras. They merged into darkness. They spoke in fear. Though the clouds are without teeth, they chew people situated on earth with teeth in the form of lightning and roar with pride. The movement of prema was astonishing because though it gave sorrow to the mind, it was actually beneficial. There was great respect shown in the praises of Radha. When she saw a cloud, she thought as follows. O friend, lightning, what and how much austerity are you performing? Please tell me, since you as a cloud are similar to the chest of Krishna and enjoy at all times. Though she spoke like this in madness, because of her reservation in front of her friends, she spoke differently in their presence. Look at that black rain cloud. The lightning with attachment is playing near the cloud. Are you remembering Krishna's extraordinary love? No, no. This was just a description of the qualities of the monsoon season. Sometimes during the approaching clouds, they were able to see Krishna. O Radha, do you desire him? No, no. She detested that intense blackness. After seeing Krishna briefly, they did not notice the sweet dancing of the peacocks, which gave great happiness to Krishna. They never forgot the peacock feather on his head. When the monsoon, creating so many obstacles, was over, the autumn season arrived. They thought that the autumn would bring a cloudless sky, but when autumn arrived, it brought double confusion in their emotions. Though previously Radha had suffered on seeing the cloud with lightning, now she suffered from not seeing the cloud, which was similar to his complexion. The wind god, inspired by the Leela Shakti, brought to each of them verses written on fresh leaves by the fingernails of their lover. The lightning which takes its life from the cloud must have performed many pious acts. One sees the lightning with the cloud, and one does not see it without the cloud. The moon has given up the covering of clouds. The swan and the blue lotus have become beautiful, but these are not seen in the autumn of Vrindavan. What a useless creator! Accidentally receiving these messages, Radha and Krishna continually embrace those leaves while weeping, making them the center jewels of a necklace situated within their golden hearts. The Sakis burned in the fire of separation. Ah, the autumn made the water lily, lotus, and moonlight blossom with purity, but contaminated the gopis' mind, eyes, mouth, and lips. How could the Sakis tolerate this? This is described. Except for the gopis, whose heart had been stolen by Krishna, the people could forget their suffering by embracing the wind coming from the flower-filled forest. This wind was neither hot nor cold. When lovers meet, their beauty, dark complexion, radiance, charm, and coquetry become streams of nectar. When they are separated, those items were like poison. When together with him, The women called the wind coming from Krishna's limbs the life air of the universe. But when they were separated from him, they called the wind an arrow. Though their eagerness reached a climax, one of them would not reveal her passion to another. Let me love him, though it is immoral. This is how they thought. Krishna also thought in this way. In this way, the ignorant women grieved without cessation. Finding no alternative, Krishna, though fearing the glances of eyes, like being beaten with a stick when the gopis did not accept to be controlled, began playing his flute to control them. It will be said in this regard by the gopis, O pious Mother Yashoda, your son, who is expert in all the arts of herding cows, has invented many new styles of flute playing. First, with absorption, he played tunes on the flute in the company of Balaram. When he would herd the cows in the forest potent with love, he would astonish his friends who were beyond material conception by joyfully playing his flute daily, displaying the highest excellence along with Balaram, who was decorated with most attractive qualities. The gopis then had a full experience of Krishna's spurti. This occurred regularly since the nature of prema is that the sought object becomes its target from far off. The logician's class, artha pati, inference from circumstance, as part of inference. Thus one can easily infer that all the women were Krishna's lovers. The gopis whose hearts were inundated with prema dried up because of suffering to attain Krishna, but they did not pay attention to their suffering. There were Radha's sakis like Vishakha and Lalita, also called Anuradha, and Chandravali's sakis like Shaibya and Padma. Among them, they revealed their desires confidentially, expressing their fixed love. Though he was covered somewhat by association with Balaram, they began describing Krishna with incomplete words. Their song. Krishna and Balaram, dressing up, sang skillfully with their friends. They covered their pure heads with the best buds from the mango tree, which had been nourished by its sap. They were at the stage of new youth, expressed through new buds. They had a strong desire for action. They had lovely peacock feathers in their hair, along with gems. They appeared to be wearing a small portion of a cloud accompanied by constellations and a rainbow. Their ears were wonderfully ornamented with fresh blue lotuses. The boys showed eagerness for the bees, which asked, "Which creeper is that?" Twirling lotuses in their hands, they displayed the highest attractiveness, attracting the bees with pleasant showers of sweetness. Their strong bodies were worshipped by the fragrance of their garlands, surrounded by the bees. They had an extraordinary dress in the form of the loud humming bees. One was white with blue cloth, and the other was blue with yellow cloth. When they bring the cows to Gokula, our distress will disappear. All became absorbed in Krishna as he approached Gokula. Ah! When we see the two brothers enter Braj with their friends and cows, our eyes reach perfection. The younger brother has a lotus face shining with a flute, with eyes which are the essence of all arts. This is suggested. When he goes about frolicking and singing with his friends and the cows, his eyes with restless pupils, moving like pearls on a necklace, pierce our hearts. Thus the eyes of a noble woman who is enchanted by the flute player who gives her bliss, have reached perfection. Overcoming shyness to some extent, to reveal his desire when he noticed the gopi's affection, and having great intelligence corresponding to the strength of his pleasurable awareness of their feelings, while glancing at Balaram, he then began improvising on his flute with amazing skill, increasing the beauty of the music at every moment, on the pretext of playing for only Balaram. all the gopis at once became enchanted. The women of Braj, shy to reveal their love, described Krishna while indicating Balaram. Holding their sticks and ropes, wandering in various forests to herd the cows while playing their flutes, making the mountains move and the water motionless, they make lifeless entities manifest opposite qualities. The following is suggested. Of the two who destroy everyone's dharma, Krishna uproots our sense of dharma. Thinking that by playing songs in this way everyone would become bewildered, Krishna then considered, I desire all of them will become bewildered and attracted, and especially Radha, just as the Brahmana is special among the jivas. I will endeavor to play the flute so that gradually bewilderment, attachment, or both will appear. This will occur by the appearance of the essence of notes most desired by the sense objects. Considering this, in order to carry out a test, he began bringing under control all the animals. But he only managed to agitate the hearts of the gopis and not control them. First, the cows reacted on hearing the flute. Krishna's face showered nectar through the song of his flute, and the cows drank it by their ears, which served as their tongues. And their tongues became stunned, not able to taste grass. Is this nectar? Can it not be tasted? To what can it be compared? What is the purpose of the nectar? This is suggested. On hearing the flute, we and the cows attain the same state, but there is some difference. The cows at every moment gaze at his moon-like face, but we do not know in which yuga we will gaze upon his face. On another day, playing another tune, he attracted and enchanted the other animals. The animals and birds became so enchanted by the sound of the flute that it seemed as if they had been caged. This affected the gopis. Vrindavan broadcast the glories of the earth, for here Krishna personally played while marking the land with his lotus feet. By the sound of his flute, the peacocks danced and the wild animals became civilized. Vrindavan had become a dancing arena. This is suggested. We do not have the capacity to attain the good fortune of Vrindavan. We worship the peacocks because of their good fortune at every moment. The domestic animals in the house are worthy of worship. We are more condemned than the animals, since they can freely see Krishna, whereas we cannot even see his shadow. Apart from the domestic animals, on another day the deer became controlled by his flute. The gopis described this in a similar manner. How amazing! The does gather with the bucks, and though of low intelligence, surpass you in their worship. Hearing the flute, they go towards Krishna, and stunned by his beauty, worship him with the corners of their eyes with great love. This is also suggested. We, who are women by birth, are respected by the respectable. Our husbands live in Braj, famous for love of Krishna. But the does are not like us. They go with their husbands towards Krishna. We are so sinful. We cannot be equal to the does. On another day, the birds became transformed. This was described by the gopis. We know for certain the birds in this forest are sages, and Krishna is their guru. It cannot be otherwise. He has done this astonishing thing. They are all absorbed in listening, maintaining a vow of silence. They also suggested this despondently. Since he and they are dwelling here as sages, it is not proper that our desires can be fulfilled. On another day, the Devata women became enchanted. The gopis described this. When his flute attracted all the divine airplanes, on encountering the attractive skill of his flute with playful form, the Devata women became enchanted. What is this that I hear and see everywhere? They were not aware whether their ornaments and hair had fallen askew or not. This is suggested. The Devata women have so easily attained this state. But what is our state? The state of depraved women of Braj. Thus living beings lost consciousness, and inanimate things became conscious, surpassing mountains in their motionless state. Although they were superior to inanimate objects, the gopis were difficult to attract. The gopis considered the nature of the river. Hearing the flute, the river stopped, overcome with bewilderment. Its waves swelled, the water trembled, and shouted through the calls of swans. It became insane. By approaching Krishna in the distance and with its waves his hands offered lotuses to his lotus feet. This is suggested. The river's wives of the ocean quickly go to meet him, overcoming the rules. We are not so fortunate. The rivers have easily accrued pious credits. We cannot compare to them at all. We must become detached from happiness and distress. On another day, they describe the clouds. The clouds are not only his friend because of their similar color, but they are also beneficial to all beings. Krishna nourished the cloud by the Malara Raga on his flute, and the cloud relieves him of the heat by placing its shadow over him. This is suggested. Though the clouds are inanimate and are floating above everyone, because they have prema within, they serve Krishna by their water and shade. We are unfortunate. We surrender to him, accept him as the protection of our lives, and give him all respect. But without service to him, our lives are useless. Ah, even the pile of rocks, the mountain, has attained happiness. Govardhan is clearly the best servant of Krishna, for when he climbs the mountain with Balaram while playing the flute, it serves him along with the cows and his friends continuously with elegant shoots sprouting by the touch of his lotus feet and by the waterfalls. Not only do the hairs of Govardhan stand on end, please listen to something else astonishing. If you do not believe it, look at another mountain. Becoming most affectionate for Krishna, on hearing the sound of the flute, it becomes so smooth so that at every moment it can witness the mane markings on his feet. This is hinted. If one desires to attain the feet of great souls by impudence, one will develop respect for them by good fortune. Thinking of the gopis' mood and not attaining Krishna, and identifying with their insane condition, with agitated heart and compassion, Madhukanta, with choked throat, covered his face with his cloth and began weeping profusely, making his grief visible to all. He then recited an unrestrained poem written by Radha. The flute has such good fortune because, being a male, giving up all shyness that the gopis have, it continuously touches Krishna's lips and makes sounds. Because of that sound, which emanates from his lips with joy, the rivers swell, and the bamboos on its bank shed tears in the form of honey. This is hinted. I pray for the body of a bamboo flute, not the body of a respectable woman. Krishna, attracted with eagerness, with great affection, will play the flute. This experience is impossible in any other body. As a flute with the ebbing of consciousness, I will forget who I am. But Krishna will know that I have become a piece of wood because of my suffering and separation. Then Radha thought to herself, O Makara earring, you kiss his cheek. Flute, you taste his mouth. O garland, you embrace all of his limbs. This is proper for you. You are beyond fault. Ah, I am deprived of this desired object by criticism which considers rules. Flowers, pearls, and diamonds do not leave his chest. What are we women controlled by passion in comparison to them? If Shama did not associate with others, I would not be disturbed. Without fear, he embraces his friends. How can I tolerate it? when the song of Krishna's flute spread out with a heart-touching raga, an indescribable confusion subdued the inhabitants of Braj and produced obstacles, increases in desire. This will be the subject tomorrow. Folding his hands, he said, "O Radha, no one can know the endeavor that your lover makes for you since it is internal." When the lengthy topic was completed, all returned to their houses.